I don't know about you, but wow, we've done this already this morning. The psalm, heavy. And then I didn't ask Jerry or Usug to do this, but they picked this sequence in perfect follow-up to that psalm. And I'm going to let you connect the dots during the sermon as to why I believe that, but it is absolutely perfect. So last week, no, that's wrong. I didn't preach to you last week. It's been a while, several weeks ago, when I last was preaching in here. I spoke to you about vulnerability, and I know many of you were listening because you remembered me referencing the 1973 Who song, Can You See the Real Me or the Real Me? I think that's what was remembered from the sermon. That's okay, because it really is a summation of the whole thing. Vulnerability, being seen for who we actually are and not the image that we just portray out there, but being able to see the real me. Can you see the real me? And I'm actually going to quote another song from 1973 later. I'm not going to tell you who it is, so that's this way you will listen, and I'll see if you can tell me who it might be later. Can you see the real me? Well, our psalmist today has taken up that challenge and jumped straight into the deep end of the pool and enters the fray, and it's unadorned with niceties, right? There's no sugarcoating the words of the psalmist here. The context, of course, they are in exile away from their homeland. They are suffering. They're grieving. They yearn to taste joy again. They say, how in the world can we sing these songs of gladness in the middle of our circumstances? But then they ratchet it up a notch and basically say, not only will we not sing, we're going to hang our harps on the trees, but our rage seeks retribution of the most gruesome kind that we hear at the end of the psalm. Well, our context is different than the psalmist, but there are similarities. This is actually our story too. You see, with the psalmist, we have those moments when we sit and weep by the waters of Babylon and we lament. And we wonder, what do we do with our broken dreams and our anger with our pain? Last year, one of my family members faced stage 4 colon cancer, and the prognosis was pretty bleak. This past spring, we celebrated clean scans, health. It was joy. And I found out this past week that the cancer has returned, now in a different place in their bodies. A few days ago, I was catching up with a colleague from North Carolina. They pastor a United Methodist church, and their denomination is being rent apart over issues of human sexuality, not unlike our own was several years ago. And she cried openly as we spoke on this Zoom call, grieving for her flock, for the families on both sides of the issue, and how these families, parents and children and brothers and sisters and friends, are being divided and ripped apart in this conflict. Additionally, I learned that one of my nephews and his fiance, the joy of expecting their first child, only to lose the baby. My story is not unique. It's not in the slightest unique. Suffering, grief, and pain, the trials, the vicissitudes of life, we have our moments to sit and weep by the waters of Babylon. They come to us, and they often come with unexpected force. They take our breath away. The light of hope begins to dim. Despair begins to want to take hold. When this happens, often we are tempted to isolate in our pain. Gonna take a freight train down at the station, Lord. I don't care where it goes. Gonna climb a mountain, the highest mountain, jump off. Nobody gonna know. I've felt that way before. Have you felt that way before? We can relate to that sentiment, the grieving. We don't know what to do. So we want to be alone. We want to escape. The only thing that we can see in those moments is our pain. Well, there's another temptation, which I believe in some regards is even worse than isolating. And it seems to move to the other extreme. And it happens to us as believers so very often. And that is, we sometimes feel that because we have faith in a victorious and joyous God, that is how we should live our lives, and our lives should reflect that all the time. And so with stiff upper lip, we present again these false images. We present to the world this posture of strength. And it feels like we're being faithful to Christ. I also have been in this place, carrying sorrow and pain, but presenting, you know, my God is an awesome God, and I won't let you see that I'm suffering. Because somehow it feels like I'm faithless if I do that. But honestly, we're living falsely when we do. It's really still isolation. We're just being isolated around other people because we're so emotionally guarded that we're still keeping things to ourselves. We're just presenting different packaging. We're present rather than being absent. But I want you to please hear me clearly here. These are understandable coping mechanisms for us to deal with dark emotions, which come to us. They do. We don't know what to do. What do we do with the sorrow and the pain? And so we're trying to figure this out. Or we isolate, or we step forward and put our best foot forward. I bring them up for us to be more aware of them rather than to chastise anyone who finds themselves in those places. Invariably, we find ourselves there. What I want you to hear clearly and most sincerely is that we, your brothers and sisters in Christ, we are here. We are here. We may not always understand, but we are here, and you're not alone. Now, we cannot take away your pain or sorrow. There are, as much as I would like to tell you this, there are no magic potions or mystical incantations or heartfelt prayers that instantly make everything better and go away. Boy, I wish there were. But in this journey of life, this gift that we've been given, we are going to experience both its beauty and its ashes. But both of them will supply content to our souls. And both of them, both the beauty and the ashes, the joy and the suffering, they offer us amazing glimpses of our Savior, who is the risen, victorious Christ, but also the suffering servant. Additionally, if we're honest, like the Israelites, often we reflexively call for and desire retribution. We hear it at the end of the psalm today. If someone else has harmed me or troubled me, somehow if they begin to suffer agony and loss, well, our emotions tell us that maybe that evens the score and it makes things right. Somehow we take a bit of pleasure in it. I know you don't, you're good people, but I do. We convince ourselves that this makes sense, right? It's karma. You're getting what you deserve, and it feels like justice. but it's not. It never, ever satisfies. It's returning evil for evil, actually. The challenge of suffering that we hear in our psalm is everywhere. And while I would rather stand up here and laugh and preach you the most inspirational, uplifting sermons every single time I'm before you, that's only part of our lives. And we can't bypass the other. We are surrounded by distress that is common to broken humanity. And you and I, as believers in Christ, we don't suffer because we're either better or worse than others. We simply experience pain and loss because we live in a broken world made up of human beings who are trying to figure things out and exercise control and multiply that a billion times over, and it's going to be a bit messy. But this suffering is not for naught. It actually is incarnational. That is, we begin to embody the presence of Christ. Because Jesus dwells in us by His Spirit, as we are aware and present to these hurts and losses in our broken world, we are actually participating in and with Jesus. And might I say, perhaps more clearly than ever. I know I seem to have seen more of my Savior when I've been in these places than when I'm frolicking on the mountaintop. As wonderful as that is, I feel like I sometimes identify more here. Now, in my life, there's been suffering that I neither wanted nor had any control over. It came to me. I was caught in the crossfire of a broken world. But I've also experienced suffering that I most surely brought on myself. And if I had the opportunity, unfortunately, I often dumped it on the people around me. But suffering, if we can be aware and in Christ, it's an invitation to be real with one another and to fully identify with our brothers and sisters. So what do we do with broken dreams and our anger and our pain? Perhaps by God's grace, we who are still growing in this relationship, maturing with Christ, maybe we can be a bit more present in the midst of our sufferings and those of others. Because you see, everyone you meet is fighting a battle that you know nothing about. It's going on. We're none of us are immune. But our Lord is present with us and in us and present in them and in them. And He walks with us through the valley of the shadow of death. And how I wish that psalm had been written a bit differently. That it said, I take you and there's a detour and I'm going to take you right around the valley of the shadow of death. I would have liked that a bit better. But yea, though I walk through, He is with me. And also, as the psalmist says, by the waters of Babylon, as we sit down and weep, He sits and weeps with us. We never get over great losses, but perhaps we absorb them. And hopefully they mold us into kinder creatures. And I hope maybe that's a way we can think about the church. We are a community who is present for one another when that vice tightens. When the earth is shifting under our feet and we don't know should I run or hunker down, we don't know what to do. When we feel like we're swimming straight up underwater, desperately racing for air and our lungs are going to burst. But this community is present with us and Christ to walk through the valley. All of it done in, with, and through Christ together. Because as this reading in 2 Timothy contains, it's so beautiful. I just heard it again as we were sitting here. The suffering does exist, but listen to this. This grace was given to us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has done what? Who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And that is our hope. Hallelujah. We walk through it, but it's not the final word. Amen.